introduction of hits into the mainstream, like the Prodigy Smack My Bitch Up, and yes. As legendary queer dance clubs began closing their doors, the gay roots of the dance drama were all but erased. As house music left the States, it became the soundtrack to club nights of cities far beyond the origins. House found itself embraced with open arms across the pond in Manchester. Acid House was a perfect match for the infamous venue, the Hacienda, and was the catalyst for the incumbent wave of rave. Over in London, the UK gay club scene congregated at Heaven, where Paul Oakenfield held Acid House nights in the 1980s, following the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. Berlin's burgeoning electronic music scene, forged by the likes of Kraftwerk, quickly adopted house music and expanded the genre into techno styles. And celebrating LGBTQ History Month, then we really want to remind ourselves that dance house music has and always will be inextricably and proudly queer and black.
We're going to dive into some more music before we start talking about Arthur's journey with all of this. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about.
Let's see here. What do we want to get into next? Where do we want to go?
Nigga, you're running the board. I can't believe you right now.
Two people.
Okay.
It's,
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Meeting, barely touching each other. just greedy, trying to carry it further. Two strangers, hot strangers, only lacking the knowing. So willing, feeling the infinite growing.
We're back with Black on Black on Black. We're here with me, D Fantastic,
and God, DJ Queen.
Oh my God, there's black on top of me. Arthur.
So I want to dive into a little bit about instrumentation. Before the clubs, house music was shaped by a wave of producers crafting sounds that literally just were never heard before, many times in their basements, and many of these queer and or black innovators transformed music through the invention of house instruments. And it took on a whole new level of importance as house DJs took what was seen as minimal by other musical standards and turned into a massive sound that basically, like, took over the world. Secondhand gear created world-class songs, and house showed the non-musicians that they could make music. So a few particular pieces of gear helped define the genre, like using Roland drum machines, analog synths, and samplers. These pioneers basically created a sound that was both mechanical and deeply human, which I think is a great, like, explanation of house, right? Mm-hmm. With technology, it has since broadened the capabilities of what people could create and has allowed them to be as expressive and experimental as possible. So For you, Faster Kill Faster, aka Arthur, what actually made you want to start DJing? Like, and also, how did you come up with your stage name?
So I honestly did not have any desire to do music at all.
Yeah.
I wanted to sing. I loved to sing.
Yeah.
But I had been shut down once a long time ago, and like, and it was just something that I did for myself. Mm. But working as a bartender at Minibar, because I love music so much.
Me too.
I was always making playlists, and they all had different themes. Like, literally, like, if you could see the themes of my playlist and, like, hear them, they're literally so good. And I was having so much fun with them.
Yeah.
And I had a friend who books DJs for 1015, and he would come in and go, is this your music? And I was like, yeah. He goes, are you a DJ? I go, no. He goes, you should be. He said that to me multiple times. Mm-hmm. And one day after work, I went to my friend's house, and he had his other friend there. And I was telling him, I was like, yeah, this is like the third time he said this to me. Mm-hmm. And I said, like, I know he knows what you're talking about because he books these DJs for 1015. That's a huge club. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so I was like, I just have to learn. And then my friend's other friend, who was Booty Juice, looks over his shoulder and goes, well, I can teach you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, are you being for real? Like, are you for, like, are you sure? And he goes, no, really, I can teach you. Can we put a day on the date, like on the books?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He goes, yes. And I was like, okay. So we figured out a date, and that was the first time I started learning how to DJ. And then I like learned, not only was I like fast at picking it up, but I was really, really good at it. Booty Juice said the first time I started, he had me like download some songs on a flash and plug it in and just like fuck around and see what I could do after just teaching me how to beat match.
And can you talk a little bit about who Booty Juice is? Because like,
oh, I will. DJ Booty Juice is my house mother. Hi, Booty. Also known, his actual name is Malcolm X.
Is it?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yo.
That's amazing.
So it is destined.
Yeah.
And we will also be DJing together this Friday at Teeth at 4. You should come by and shake some ass with us.
We are coming.
Come in, throw ass like you're trying to break your spine. That's what I want to see. The girls better come break spines. But he said, I thought you were coming for my gig when I first started. And I've just literally been falling more in love with it ever since. And I started learning how to DJ right after I finished my my acting. I did 2 years of acting at this for this Meisner program. And the feeling that I get DJing is the exact same feeling I get being on stage with another actor. There's electricity in the air.
I love that.
It is so, like, it's magical.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. It's magical.
Yeah. I mean, definitely a conductor of energy.
Yeah.
Sure.
Exactly.
So, how'd you come up with your stage name?
So, I was originally going to be DJ Jean Grey. I was also thinking, what was it? It was like DJ Long Shot or something. Or that's also DJ Dazzler. Because I'm a huge X-Men nerd. But there's a song, speaking of Paul Oakenfold, he did a song with Brittany Murphy called Faster Kill Pussycat. And I used to listen to that song on
with
repeat.
Brittany Murphy?
Yes.
That's so random. Yes, what the hell? But I need to listen to this.
You did, so she sings, and she usually does it in her movies, but she did a song with him, and I literally listened to that song on repeat so many times, and it came on when I was thinking of names, and I was in Minibar talking to the people, to my regulars, and the song came on, and then the words Faster Kill Faster came out of my mouth, and I went, and then somebody else went, that's hot. And I said,
Yeah.
It gave me fire. Because the song is called Faster Kill Pussycat.
Yeah.
And she says, faster kill fast, just like pussycat. I can't stand to see you cry. Honey, you know where the world is at. Get what you want with your lucky eyes. And the song, the words, it just stayed. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so, because we were talking about instrumentation, what do you believe are some of the quintessential things every new DJ should own?
two or three or four flash drives.
Yeah.
Because I always carry two on me at all times.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
If I lose one, or if one for some reason doesn't have a song on it, or if one gets corrupted, you have another one. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes, like we found out when I was DJing at the Phoenix Hotel, their CDJs weren't connected. So I had to put one flash drive in each, and then beat match by ear.
Oh shit! And that's cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, you did live.
That is a skill.
There was nothing for me to see the wavelengths crossing over each other to make sure that they were lined up.
Yeah.
I did it by ear, and I just had to do that at Apollo. This past Saturday.
Shit.
Because there's
I was sweating.
I have been, it's been my dream to play Apollo.
Yeah.
And it has like been, it's been a goal of mine since I started.
Yeah.
And I got to do it. And of course, they throw this wrench at me. Oh, it's not matching up. It started out matched up too.
Right.
It started out, I could see it.
Yeah.
And then something happened and it went away.
Yeah.
Technology, that's awesome.
It makes me think of like back when, and some DJs still use vinyl for sure. Like when they were just holding that dial and they just had to drop it.
Frightening.
Like every once in a while, we have spin tables here, and I'll bring in vinyl, and I'll be going back and forth, and I'm just like, man, I'm just fucking this up. I did my best.
The other dude of NERD, not Pharrell, but the other dude.
Oh, the Asian dude.
Yes.
What is his name?
I saw him at a venue here, and he was doing it, doing vinyl, and the way that vinyl was taped up in certain places.
So
I think he was giving himself like visual cues.
Yeah.
That was so fucking cool, dude. That was a great show.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, you need
a flash drive. You need a dongle, because not all computers take USBs in directly into them anymore. They just take USB-C.
Mine only takes USB-C. Yeah. Like, that's... Yeah.
So get you a dongle. Get you really good headphones.
Any brands you like?
The ones that I'm using right now, I cannot remember the name of them.
I'm fine.
And also find a way to get yourself a setup so you can practice at home. Mm-hmm. Or if you can't, find somebody who has a deck that you can go to and that you can practice on every day. I was practicing with Kelly before, because he had said, I mean, he only lives on 14th and Mission, so he's not that far from me, and we would be up from 5, or I'm from like 2 when I get off of work, all the way up until 7 in the morning.
Either that house is incredibly soundproof, or y'all got some really nice neighbors.
No, his neighbors hate him.
But it's the mission. What you gonna do, baby?
They're also super chill about it too.
Yeah.
Now I'm just going into work an hour early before I start, and practicing for an hour.
Nice.
I'm recording the set and then opening the bar.
Nice, because it is a skill. You do have to practice.
I hadn't practiced in like 2 months because I need to find a job, and I started working. I was really busy, and getting back on, I was rusty.
Yeah,
and I was like, No, this is a muscle, and you must keep stretching it.
Oh, yeah.
So also get that drive.
Right. These drives, yeah. What about some things you feel like baby DJs should be doing when they're first starting out?
Definitely sounds like practicing, but outside of that, anything else?
Constantly download music. I've always, since I was, even when I was younger, I have to have a thirst for music. I've been listening to old and new songs at the same time, and kind of doing deep dives into certain artists, but like really be downloading music all the time and try to stay up on what's coming out and what's already come out long before.
Right. What do you use to download music? Because, like, I don't know about y'all, but, like, well, I mean, with me and Brittany, like, I'm a major streamer. Like, I just listen on Spotify. Like, I literally, like, if you're, like, download a song, I'm like, where? How? Like, what do you, like, where? Where do you do it?
I have been an Apple Music girly for a long time, but I don't know how to move the music that I paid for over. So I honestly,
I don't. Can we solve this together?
Someone tried to tell me, and I still can't figure it out.
Right.
Because you can download it, but then I'm like, and then what?
And there's a way
to move it to a flash drive, but I don't know how to do that yet. So I've been using Beatport is really good.
What is it?
Beatport is really good for downloading music. But also, I've been using Soulseek is a website made for DJs by DJs.
Interesting.
And you put up a bunch of music, and you can just go and download it. Like a little underground torrenty.
That's cool.
You're getting really, really good files.
Yeah.
And literally, like, the most random songs that I found on, like, YouTube. And then if you try to download it from YouTube, you're going to get a shitty file.
Yeah.
If you download it from Soulseek, you're getting a very good file.
Nice one. That's a site made by DJs for you.
I just downloaded I just downloaded a sick fucking remix of Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Really?
Yeah. I'm playing it on Juneteenth, too.
Yes. Oh, hell yeah. We will be there. I hope you know that. D-Fantastic and Queen are coming through.
And it's mixed with Led Zeppelin.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You need to make sure you tell us what time.
Please tell us what time. Because, like, we're going to be leaving, like, the other Juneteenth event. Like, I'm trying to, like, coordinate. Okay. Awesome. So, in relation to creating things, because we were talking about, like, creating these new beats and stuff, are you there yet? Like, are you, like, creating and producing stuff yet?
So I've made one song with my friend. He made the beat, and I, because, like, we listen to a lot of the same music and we're talking about it a lot, it's like kind of like a really, like, Vogue house beat.
Dope.
But it was inspired by a poem that I wrote called Where the World's Mine. The song is called For Not Work Reasons. There's this line where I say, and I'm going to go back outside and smell a fucking parade. I'm going to go back outside for not work reasons and smell a fucking parade. It's a lot of fun. I'm ready to get to producing my own music. I just need to download the platform to do it.
Yeah.
And start fucking around.
Yeah. I'm curious about what have been some of your favorite venues to play in the Bay Area, San Francisco specifically.
One of mine that I did this recently. I loved playing there. I didn't want to play there again after I played there, which sucked. But it was if you ever watch Queer as Folk, it was like Babylon. Club Babylon was this huge gay club in the show that like it's what you imagine a club to be like.
When you're like, oh, this is what clubs are like as a child, and you're like, that's amazing.
I've never been. We will never go.
What?
We will never go, babe.
Why?
Because that's a City Nights has a you age out of City Nights.
Okay, gotcha.
No, like, but so they I'm in talks with them about possibly having a gay / queer party. But
don't make me go
be with
that party.
It'd be 18 over. It'd be 18 over.
I know that's the first thing about it. It's an 18 and up club.
It would be 21 up.
Okay. That's helpful.
Traditionally, they are 18 over. The party that I'm gonna do is gonna be 21 up.
City Nights used to have beds in it?
Oh my god.
I did not know
that's crazy. City Nights is a rite of passage in the Bay Area.
But look, when I went, the DJ booth was all the way up, and there's a winding staircase.
Yeah,
that
it's legit.
I want to go.
Like, when I walked in there as an 18-year-old, I was like, adult room. Now.
Really?
The pickleball was the size of this room.
Yeah, it's huge.
It was so fucking cool.
Where the fuck is this?
It's like
it's on
downtown.
7th and Harrison.
Yeah, it's like right there by the freeway.
No. So it's like 4th and Harrison.
Somewhere.
I need to just go to see it.
This is where I used to go to like booty shorts versus basketball shorts. And you would go in there. And
no, I know. It's only for like a second. Just like, oh wow, walk around and leave.
And they have the bar in a completely different area because it was 18 and up.
Yeah.
And then you would just see like the old ass men drinking adios as they're getting ready to go talk to 18
year olds. Yeah. Yeah.
And then one of them would come up to you and his breath would just be like fire obvious in your face. Yeah. And you're just like,
stop.
Daddy is who's grandfather?
It could be your daddy.
You're trying real hard.
No, thank you.
City Nights. Oh my God. That's amazing. That's crazy.
That is hilarious.
That's crazy.
It was like honestly, like the when I walked in and they pulled back that curtain and we went into the room, I was like, I'm in Babylon right now. I'm in fucking Babylon.
I love hearing you describe my childhood club like that. Because we all really felt like we were those bitches.
Right, right.
There is a curtain.
It's literally the sickest amazing. Setup. Ever.
Damn it!
Yeah, it's like with fucking Blade. There's like a lower platform, and you said I don't know if it still has like a ring around.
I need to go. Yeah, I will ignore the children and just enjoy my time.
Maybe we gonna find a 21 and up event. I refuse to go to an 18 and up. I'm not, because it's not gonna nearly be as good.
And so before we get into our next segment, you know, we're all big house heads in here, but you as a DJ, like, are there spaces you want house music to go to where it hasn't gone before? Like, you know, if you envision house music or house rave in 2036, what do you see?
I don't know if it'll be house, it'll be like techno, because the way the music happens, it's cyclical. It's like we went out of disco, we came back to disco, and then house has been having a huge moment. People are moving out of house now and are going more into techno, and then the BPMs are jumping up to like into the like 140s, 160s, 170s.
This is a recession indicator, but anyways.
I feel like this is a recession indicator.
The girlies are trying to seize on the floor.
Yes. Like, maybe forget about my baby.
We're vibrating
hot
fast enough to phase through walls.
I'm trying to see. Okay.
Oh man.
Go on. Go on.
But there will always be a place for house. I haven't been to a place where they haven't played house, because I don't really go to straight spaces.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
But I would love to find myself in a really cool place, like maybe Louisiana or something.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe when we go to Dublin, I'll find myself a gig in Dublin.
That'd be dope.
Now, I have been to...
You keep on knocking, but you can't come in.
I have been to New Orleans, and there is a black underground punk house scene there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really fucking cool.
Yeah,
in New Orleans, like that underground black sort of like house, and like it's also mixed with like burlesque and drag. It's so cool.
And for me, because like my house is near and dear to me, not only as a black person, but also like house was.
I think you said your house. I was like, girl, what house?
We love your house.
No.
My house is your house, babe. I love that.
Because when I started raving, I was going to house music parties. Like, so like I, you know, that is the music that I've continued to follow. Obviously, yeah. I like a plethora of genres in EDM, like even like fucking old school, and I like techno and all of that. As long as I got 4x4 beats, like I'm in. But like house music I've always followed. I feel like even in 2036, like I will have found the house crew and like still be
no,
in
totally.
It.
No, totally. House will never die. It's like disco.
No, then it's impossible.
We're never gonna leave.
It'll reinvent. It might move to different venues, but it's always gonna be there.
Exactly. It's always gonna be there.
Yeah. Whether the venues are big or small, it's just kind of whether the movement. Yeah, the movement.
The
is
experimentation
big.
Level of it, the creativity of it, like it is where people can go and kind of find their own sound.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's a really playful space.
Yeah.
I mean, what I would like to see is like house like futurism. You know,
that's a thing.
Yeah, but really in a positive manner. And I'm only speaking about this because a couple of episodes ago, we had Kai Kai B. Michaels, a very amazing drag queen out there, talked about like solar punk. And as I like think about like, you know, there's a lot of futurism that is like steeped in kind of like edgy and like darkness. But like, if we can like do like a positive, like, very solar punk version of, like, house futurism, like, I would love to. I would love to see that. And I feel like I haven't seen that yet. It might exist, but I just haven't seen it yet.
Given this late stage
rave.
That'd be dope. Suit your baths. Yeah. August, baby.
We can make one of the themes. What's that song? The Prototype by Outkast.
Yes.
So everyone's gonna dress in those songs. Yes.
If not, you are the prototype. Anyways.
Yes.
Okay. Anyways, let's get into some more music before we get into our last segment. But yes, I love that. House music is forever, y'all.
I'm
forever
going to play the shortest song on this playlist. It shouldn't be this hard.
Black on Black. This is D Fantastic
and DJ Queen.
And
oh my God, there's black on top of me.
Yes.
I really need that recorded to a sound.
Me too. Oh my God, there's black on top of me. It's great.
I'm gonna make a house track with that as the hook.
Please do.
Please.
Okay, so we wanted to kind of talk about, like, the further impact of, and the tie-in to, in house music. And so, during the 1980s, as the AIDS epidemic devastated queer communities, house clubs became lifeline. So while mainstream media ignored the crisis, LGBTQIA plus communities found healing and solidarity on the dance floor. So the music also responded in kind to this, with house becoming more emotive, communicating a spirit of defiance and love. And tracks became more spiritual, and that is when you got more gospel samples and uplifting grooves that
gospel
provided
house.
Escapism.
Yeah. I love gospel house.
Yeah.
The beauty. beauty.
I love it. Yeah.
I feel like the gospel house from that's coming out of Atlanta right now is really fire. And my gosh, so fire.
And so for you, Arthur, like, do you feel that the house music scene in 2026 is still largely queer given its history?
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ours, and it'll remain ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it'll remain black. I was trying to find this quote from Madonna, because she said something the day that I was giving my talk on the house party scene, basically saying how, like, she found solace on the dance floor, because, you know, on the dance floor, language... voice goes away, and the body movement becomes the language, yeah. In a place of solace and of happiness and joy and love, and people aren't on the dance floors anymore. People are not dancing. Mm-hmm. Every DJ is like has noticed it, and like I'll be doing a set, and I know I'm throwing out ass shaking, back breaking music.
Yeah.
And there'll be a half moon of people with their phones out or just talking to each other, just not even two stepping, not even doing a little dip.
Yeah, just do a little.
But and so I just like, if I could encourage anybody to do anything, get on the dance floor, move. It doesn't matter if you have rhythm, if you can find the beat or not. Mm-hmm. It matters that you're out there and you're moving with other people. There was a documentary actually. Mm-hmm. That was talking about house music in the party scene, and how like people used to never go out for the DJs. The DJ was in like a room in the back,
yep.
Or in a dark corner,
yeah.
But now everyone's facing the DJ and not out there,
yeah.
In the vibe,
yeah.
Meeting people,
yeah.
And getting laid. Do that shit. Not making out with people. I want trash, people.
Yeah.
Give me jungle juice, yes. Okay?
Absolute
like,
trash.
Get out there and throw some ass. Like
and,
you.
And that's something that I have seen, having raved for 17 years, is this progression of this, is like the slow move towards... like literally looking at the DJ as a performance. Now some people have capitalized on this of like, you know, having having visuals in the background, yeah. You can kind of watch that or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like I will purposefully, especially at like underground raves. So like yeah. There's a lot of really cool underground raves in San Diego that I go to, and like I will turn away from the DJ because it's not about that.
Same. Like, I am like a conscious effort to do that.
Yeah, like I'm not looking at the DJ, like I'm like looking away. I'm trying to like dance and shit. You know, I'm trying to dance and like make eye contact people, yeah. Like join their dancing, mm-hmm. but again, I'm fortunate enough that I started raving years and years and years ago, where that was kind of the norm.
Like people came to sweat,
yeah. Yes. But at the same time, I also started raving not necessarily at venues. Like there were some venues, but mm-hmm. a lot of it was like just house raves.
Yeah,
like that's what it was. So you sure as shit raves. Aren't looking at the DJ. No, you got and other things.
Don't
to
worry
do.
About being yeah. rude, because it's not, because the DJs are looking at you too. We're looking down at the decks, making right. sure that the
DJ's
songs are staying.
Delicate right. situation.
Exactly. We are throwing ingredients into the potion and mixing and ladling shit.
No.
Don't worry, it's not rude to turn your back on the DJ. In
right.
fact, we will love you for it.
Right. I am very curious, because I know the scene here, I think the Bay Area in general, is the punk scene here is synonymous with queer culture. Uh-huh. Like but I know it's not necessarily that in other places. So do you, Arthur, have a sense of if there's a difference between the house scene here and maybe the house scene in other places? Like, is it maybe just that the house scene is very queer here, but if you go somewhere else, like if you go to Phoenix or like if you go to Las Vegas, it's not as queer. It's actually more...
You know what? I'm not, but that just says that I need to get out more, which means I need to work less. the two don't go together. But,
yes, not at all.
I also just need to get out and go to other mm-hmm, places.
Mm-hmm. I'm very curious about that.
I am loving, though, the intersection of punk and house.
Yeah.
There are some really, really great punk remixes coming out. There's one that's Cuntology 101, one of my favorite, what's her name? Peaches remixes it, and it's cunty as fuck. And
then, I love Peaches. I love Peaches.
And then,
what else is in the teaches of Peaches?
Yes.
Sorry, yeah.
hush now, baby. Don't you stress.
I'm going to get your mama complex.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go on.
I have a sick remix of that too.
Dope.
But then there's Emil and the Sniffers has one called "You Should Not Be Doing That." Mm-hmm. That is cunty as fuck. Mm. Oh, I should have put that on the playlist.
It's okay. It's okay. You can send this in the future.
You know, I'll keep adding stuff to the playlist.
Please,
y'all can just
I will say, as someone from the South, there's definitely a like. There is still, and maybe honestly, and I could be speaking out of touch because I haven't been to like a house music rave in Texas in a while, but when I was growing up, there was definitely a feeling of like, oh yeah, this is a straight space. Not like a, oh yeah, like, you know, queer people can't be here, but it was like, oh, like this is like definitely like, yeah, like when all the house music parties I was going to, like all of that, like it was straight. Like, I mean, you might see some women making out, but like it was mostly like the men are there for the women are there for the men. Unless you intentionally went to a queer house party. Mm-hmm. Like, then you're like, oh yeah. So that may be different in Houston now, and maybe different in Austin now. Austin was a little more mixed. But definitely like that was the vibe then. I mean, even when I go to San Diego, it definitely feels like in most of the spaces that I'm in, any EDM space, it's definitely feels more straight unless you are intentionally going to like a queer club or a bar. One of the biggest queer clubs out there is called Riches, that me and Desmond went to during Halloween a couple years ago. Amazing, great music, all that, but it's intentional. Like, this is a queer club. Outside of that, like, it's You're not really seeing dudes dancing with dudes. You're not seeing women dancing with women. Like, it's a straight space. Yeah. So I think we are in the unique piece of the Bay Area is that there's just a natural tend of a queerness to kind of like that is a part of the culture, like in the very creative culture. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other spaces, it just isn't. Again, like, I don't know where Houston is at right now with that, but
I would say someone who grew up going, I did more of sort of like industrial raves, going to warehouses. I did go to the Ghost Ships, the one that burnt down, but
I almost moved in there.
Yeah. Ooh, did you really?
Yeah.
I have only been to that venue once, and I thought it was the craziest thing I've ever been in my life.
Was it sketch?
It's hella sketch. Yeah. It's hella sketch.
It's all exposed dry wood.
Yeah, and you have to climb this insane ladder to even get to where everyone's standing. I was like, how is this not collapsing in on itself?
Yeah.
It's insane.
And that's one thing that, like, because I have a kid, and, hopefully we'll have another. That's one thing that I do want to communicate with my kids in the future is, like, look, your mom parties. She likes to party. She's been partying for a long time. It's not that I don't want you to. It's just you have to think about safety. You have to think about, like, is it worth it? Like, someone posted some crazy shit on Reddit the other day where it was like, oh, I wonder if this would be a cool rave. Nigga, it was literally a cave, one way in, one way out, with the ladder. I was like, first of all, the carbon dioxide from everyone breathing that shit will make everyone fucking pass out. Second of all, how the fuck are you going to get out of there if something happens? I was like, no. Like, you have to think about all of that.
That's what we mean when we say white people shit.
Yes. Hence why I only went to that one time, and I was like, never again.
Oh, you did go?
I did go. I've been to that venue one time.
No.
And then I was like, never again. That's a one and done.
The claustrophobia, like, we were at Carnival like a couple of weekends ago, and like, they were like, oh yeah, let's get closer to the stage, and it was so, everyone's so tight packed. I was like, I'm not going.
It was crazy.
I was like, y'all, if you try to get me to move, I'm gonna fight you. Yeah. So like,
it was crazy.
No, I just stayed out. I was like, I'm not doing that.
Came back out.
I'm not doing that.
But one more thing. Don't be one of those people at the club who, when someone knocks into you when they're dancing, when you're on the dance floor, you get hella mad.
Oh.
Because literally, we're all on the fucking dance floor.
We're supposed to dance. Dance floor.
Moving. You're going to be knocked into me. Your foot's going to get stepped on.
This is not the pandemic anymore. Them little lies that I've done.
Say, yo, love your dance moves.
Yeah.
And keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Because I've recently had someone do that to me where they were pissed. And I was like, bruh.
Why are you getting off the dance floor?
We are in a shoulder-to-shoulder dance floor.
Yeah.
And you're not even dancing.
Right.
So shut the fuck up.
Go sit on the sideline. If you don't want to be bumped into, go outside. Go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, there's plenty of space for you away from people. Like, just move away.
Yeah.
So, And sort of like talking about the impact of venue on music, I mean, it's possible, it's impossible to ignore the impact that NYC's ballroom scene had on maintaining the connection between queerness, community, and house music. While ballroom culture can be traced back to the 1800s and earlier, the ballrooms of the 80s carried the spirit of the clubs, fusing voguing with house music. This influence is easily seen today in the global impact of drag culture on electronic and pop music, from Madonna to Beyonce and Chappell Roan. I'm curious, for you, house music has serious history. As we said, house music has serious history in ballroom. Is how do you think? How, I know there are some house and like ballroom events that happen out there, out here. Do you, is house music still in ballroom right now?
Would it
you
is, say but so? Ballroom also has like its own style that, yeah, that's like been beautifully emerging for a long time. With artists like Kevin Aviance, mm, and I know Blue Bone's one of my favorites. Mm. Where it's like it's still house, but there's also this beautiful like rap crossover.
Yeah.
And it's also there's also like a bit of like a, how do I say this? A gayer form of beatboxing.
With the
commentator.
Yes.
And it's so fucking cool.
I love the way you just described that. A gayer form of beatboxing.
You know, and it's what I knew he meant when he said that. Oh, yeah. Form of beatboxing.
It's a much gayer form of beatboxing.
I mean, it's definitely a mixture between beatboxing. There's
and
also
scatting.
There's also scatting. There's, yes, rapping going,
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
I love that.
All them different sounds. And getting the crowd going. Yeah. That is
that shit. It's really funny because, like, as a black person, it almost feels like a instrumentation form of AAVE. You know, yeah, in a way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you like personified it in like in a musical form of way, and I, yeah, love that.
Oh, yeah,
like I deeply like. I'm talking about like femme queer AAVE,
yeah,
because there's a lot of those sounds that like we make offhandedly when we're like talking or engaging one another.
A lot of it also comes from Polari too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is also, I feel like ballroom, a lot of the vernacular that we get from it is like a dialect, a more modern dialect of Polari.
Yeah.
Polari, I'm sorry.
Polari is a queer cant. It's a language, yeah, made up of already existing languages. Polari specifically is made up of British slang, and some like French terms, poetry, and references to pop culture.
Oh,
so, like saying a friend of Dorothy,
yeah,
is Polari.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It's almost like when I think of Polari, I think of, oh my God, what's the name of it? What's that? Cockney, where it's like you're using terms put together, yeah, to like identify a certain type, a noun or an adjective or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
You know,
okay.
Now with, unlike Cockney, where you do it where it's like rhyming with something, you know, like it doesn't like. Yeah, like the like Polari doesn't necessarily do that, but it is.
It does it sometimes. It does pull from poetry too.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And if you hear someone speak it, it is kind of a whirlwind.
So interesting.
It feels like you're speaking through dimensions, just because of how like disjointed it is. But it's also just very, very beautiful. I can't, yeah, speak it, but I'm one of these days I'm going to learn.
Yeah, it's literally like Cockney. Like it's like if you know someone who just speaks in a shit ton of Cockney, you're like I'm hearing you, but what are you actually saying? And
yeah,
there's a lot of, yeah. I mean, the only reason why I know about Polari because I saw a documentary on it like a couple years ago.
Yeah,
but yeah, like and I was like, oh shit. But no, it's really fascinating. I haven't had the opportunity to hear someone just speaking a lot in it, but
there's
it's really cool.
A video of a dude on YouTube speaking it.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
Like,
send
I
it to
like,
us.
Please.
Dude.
Please. I would love to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like your own little personal code.
It is.
And what is your own experience in ballroom?
Or I what don't has have been? One.
I
did take a class with Jacques, uh-huh, which is amazing because I've gotten to know Jacques more and more through the years because we would see each other at parties. And
Jacques is a fucking beast.
He's amazing.
He's a fucking beast.
But like, I've gotten to DJ for him now too. Except DJ this party called What the Fuck at Powerhouse, and he's danced for that. And
I think it's happening today, isn't it?
It's on Wednesdays.
It's on Wednesday. There's another event happening tonight at Powerhouse that also is a
Powerhouse.
He's great.
I've been there in a minute. Like,
so good. I love spinning over there.
Did I ever tell y'all I walked in like one of those ballroom things?
No way. That's cool. What the hell?
Wait, this was like a couple years ago, right?
This was a long time
ago. Yeah, you did tell
me. This was a long time ago. I got my ass axed so fast. Them bitches are like, girl.
They chopped you?
They chopped me so
No, you told me about this.
It
because,
was so bad.
Because they got weird that you're cis, right?
They got a little weird that I was cis. I think I needed, if I was going to, here's the thing. If I'm going to be a cis woman stepping into that realm, bitch, I better bring it.
Yeah, right? You better like be,
bitch, I better
labia
bring
all
it.
Across the floor.
I better be
so,
kidding.
So you feel like, if you're more dragged out, like,
and that would like,
No. You just got to be,
no, pissed. my
cunt.
My attitude and my walk got to be Naomi Campbell.
Yes. Gotcha. Not even Naomi. It has to be so in the DNA in every molecular stance so that nobody could even
the
fight
face got to give, the makeup got to give, right. The hair got to
like
give.
Naomi.
Yeah.
Naomi.
Yeah. I need to step. It wasn't enough that like I'm a pretty girl and I dress really well. My shoes look great. Like right. I needed to like embody every piece of it.
Yeah.
And then, so it was. I mean, first of all, it was interesting. I'm proud of myself just for doing it.
I know.
It.
That, no, I mean, that's
amazing.
Oh my god.
Yeah. No, that's was amazing.
Like, and like one of them came and spoke to me afterwards, and they were like, you know, like they were like, they basically was like, A, you look great.
Yeah.
Like, let's start there. You got a little sense of fashion about yourself.
Little sense of fashion.
A little sense of damn.
I'm sorry, the shade.
Oh, no, baby,
I'm
sorry. She was not going to give it to me like that.
She literally opened the umbrella over your head.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Oh, okay.
So for people listening, non-black people listening, anytime a black person puts little in front of it, there's shade.
You're done.
Yeah.
There's shade in that.
Oh, okay.
There's a shade in that. There might be a little kernel of a compliment to understand.
You got a little fashion.
Oh, you so cute.
Oh, your little book, it was real good.
You so cute, Tink Tink.
Oh, I like your little backpack.
No, you don't. Get out my face.
Stop lying to me.
But she was like, still saying, like, you know what? If you walked more, she's like, you would have it.
Right.
Like, you would have it. But you have to, like, that would you got to be willing to go through that 10 more times.
Yeah.
I was like, no. But it was like a really interesting experience. And it, hats off to all of the dolls who get up there and just serve it like that. Because, man, impeccable.
Yeah. So no, and that makes sense. I mean, I would love to dive into a little bit more, but you know, and I just like a closing statement, like with the history of queerness and house music, does DJing within that genre have an almost inherent quality link to queerness, or is that only in certain spaces in the world, do you feel?
Wait. What was the question again?
So, like, because there's so much history in queerness in house music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does DJing with, like, as a house music DJ, does that almost have an inherent quality and link to queerness? Or is that just only in certain spaces in the world, do you feel?
I think it's only in certain spaces in the world. Because there's a lot of DJs and parties or like events that are majority straight, and you would not be able to. It doesn't sound like queer music to me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It may have had its origin there and with people of color, but it doesn't always sound like that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Daft Punk is a great example of that.
Mm.
In my mind.
Their music sounds like it's just for everybody.
No.
But I wouldn't say it inherently sounds gay. Or queer.
Right.
But it definitely sounds like it's still for me.
Okay.
But
that's fair.
There's some where it just doesn't sound like it's for me because it's very like a straight dude wrote these lyrics.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. No.
I feel like if you have like a gay DJ and a straight DJ, the transitions sound different.
The transitions could be different. Mm. The vocalizations of what you're going to bring
into it is
going to be different.
I don't want to make that generalization, but from what I've
from your perspective,
from my perspective, mm-hmm. there I feel like there's more disco in gay house.
Yeah. No, I agree, because like I posed this question with already kind of my idea on it, but obviously I was like, well, I feel like I want to hear Arthur's opinion on it. I completely agree. I feel like when I'm in straight house music places, there's a certain type of rigidity that comes with that.
And it sounds a bit colder. It's not.
It can be.
It's giving cool tones.
Yeah.
Where, like, I'd say, like, if you hear a house DJ, a gay house DJ, it's more brighter, warmer tones.
Yeah. And there's a fluidity to it that is meant to be mimicked on the dance floor. Because I think, well, most people, and, I mean, you may not realize this, but, like, part of being a really good DJ is literally creating the environment of the people in front of you. Yeah. Like, creating their movement, creating their moods, like, tapping into them, like, literally just uplifting the space.
Yeah.
And it's like, following it. Do people need to get lifted up right now? Do you want to bring it down a little bit? Because you've been going hard in the paint for, like, the past three songs. Like, all of that is so important to how you spin. And I do feel like the types of music or playlist or songs that a straight house music person may put on is just gonna like create a different environment that they're trying to personally curate versus like a queer house music. I felt that, but I was like, I don't know if I'm making assumptions about this. I wanted to hear like your opinion on it. Yeah,
the best way I can put it is like it sounds more like cooler tones and a bit more industrial.
And this is where like DJing is such a personal art.
It is. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like feeling a crowd in your hand. When you got a crowd by the balls, it feels good.
Literally. No.
It's so much fun. Like I know what it's like to be on the other side and be dripping sweat down my face, down my back, down my legs, in places I've never felt before. Ash juice all over.
The sweat necessary.
It's so necessary. And you're like, oh God, I gotta sit down. But then they throw that beat in and they switch the bass and you're like, oh, but wait.
I can't stop.
It hurts. Unhand me.
Like, it's funny because when I think about Cross, this music festival that me and Brittany and Dozen went to back in March, like, I think about literally we were dancing for like 8 hours. Longer than that, probably.
I was fucked up the next day.
We were hurting. And also, one thing that I've noticed that was a mark of age, and I don't know when I started doing this, but I was like, oh, I'm definitely an adult when I started like showering after raves. I feel like that started happening when I was like in my early 20s. I like to just go straight to bed.
Yeah.
I can't. Mm-hmm. I have to.
Usually there's someone else there.
Oh, well, that's different.
I have to
get that off of me. I gotta get it off of me. Like, I just,
Well, just moving into our closing and talking about the impact of house, and remember it's black and brown roots. So house music was foundational to electronic dance music, and without its queer pioneers, hundreds of subgenres wouldn't exist today. As music spreads and becomes more global, being adopted, adapted, and transformed to inspire countless communities, it's easy to lose sight of a genre's cultural origins. You know, like we were just talking about DJs, like, it's not inherent that when you hear a house set, you think of the queer and black and brown origins of it. Just as disco became mainstream, was popularized by the likes of the Bee Gees, shout out. It became synonymous with John Travolta and Saturday Night Fever. Many people also forget that the black roots of rock music, which originated from the blues. Modern queer producers and preserving and pushing house's radical roots, Honey Dijon, and black trans DJ and fashion icon, has explicitly centered black and trans identity at the heart of house music. So there are DJs out there reminding people and bringing it to every set.
She has an amazing set where she pulls in the whole entirety speech, I Had a Dream.
It's the coolest fucking thing
I've ever heard, because it literally works for the whole thing.
That's crazy. I just got chills.
Yeah, because you're going to listen to this, you're going to know. So in her words, house music has gone from cultural to entertainment, and what she tries to do is, in her work, is constantly protest against forgetting where the music came from. Not in a nostalgic way, but in a critical way.
I love that.
Happy Juneteenth week. Happy Pride. Happy Black Queer Pride.
Yes.
And thank you so much, Effa-Pup, for coming through.
Thank you, Effa-Pup, for coming through.
Effa-Pup.
Oh.
Effa-Pup was hella cute, but Effa-Pup, babe. gifts.
just a reminder that kill fast, faster kill faster. Jesus, faster
strike kill, two.
Faster kill faster is playing at Teeth for Juneteenth, and it's called the Booty Juice Happy Hours. This is going to be from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Juneteenth, aka this Friday. Don't fuck up at the Teeth Bar, which is 2323 Mission Street. So fucking show up and show out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, come get some black on you too.
Yes, next is Hell's Kitchen by John Hell. Whatever he's in the mood for, whether it's punk, funk, or junk, you're sure to get an earful of hell with John Hell. 20 plus years of non-commercial and pirate radio experience. A musical force to be reckoned with. Looks like we're going to have some guests in the building.
Yep.
So stay tuned, everyone, because Radio Valencia, we got a show going every 2 hours on the goddamn hour.
Yep, and we'll be back next Monday. Black on Black on Black. We're here every Monday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're also going to have a special guest, so please tune in. And also, it's going to be live audience. Show up and show out.
Hey.
Thank you.
Going out on I'm Not Afraid by Jill Scott. Enjoy.
Yeah. Black on me.
I am not afraid to be your future. I am not afraid to be your soil in which you plant.